Hello, and welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Hey, this is Nick Scherfield, HoustonTexans.com, here with Paul Kaharsky, AFC South blogger for ESPN.com. Paul, good to see you. You've been here this week for Texans last week OTAs. What are some of the things that jumped out about the Texans this week to you?
Well, I think the defense actually looked like it was maybe a little bit ahead of the offense, which surprised me because there are a couple spots defensively that I feel like are uncertain. But certainly, and it's hard for a defense to look ahead of an offense in OTA stuff because obviously if the quarterback's getting quote-unquote sacked, the play still goes on and all of that.
And then no contact.
Yeah. I think the depth of running back is probably a little better than I've given credit for, and I've been reluctant to put much stock in Arian Foster. And again, you can't tell too much in OTAs like this, but I think he's probably a guy that's going to wind up in the mix there with Steve Slayton and with Ben Tate. Mm-hmm. And so I'm encouraged there. And I think things were pretty crisp, and I had a lot of good conversations with a lot of good people. As usual, this team's optimistic in June, and the questions are more about, September, October, November, and particularly December, because they're looking to have a January.
Talking about the defense, which you mentioned earlier, Bernard Pollard's a guy that's been talked about a lot down here, very vocal, as I'm sure you saw on the practice field. What are your impressions of him and after what he did last year and how he's fitting in with the defense this
year? Yeah, I mean, he's been a real difference maker, and he's a little bit of a poster boy in my estimation for change of scenery guys, because he really in Kansas City was given up on, and based on what you heard out of there, would have figured wasn't going to be an NFL player. He comes here to Houston and really settled down the run defense and changed the face of this team in terms of a defensive personality in a lot of ways. A very valuable guy, especially when you stack him with the likes of D'Amico Ryans and then some quieter guys like Mario Williams. So I think you want a guy like Pollard who's vocal, who's feisty, who's funny, who's a stand-up guy and is going to be in front of us with microphones and tape recorders, whether things go well or not. I look forward to seeing more of him and is really impressed with what he's done.
Yeah, speaking of quieter guys, I know you talked to Andre Johnson here while you're down here. You also talked to Rick Smith. What did you make of the whole situation with his contract when it happened and then now that you're down here and have talked to him and Rick Smith?
I think they're probably going to do something to help him out. And his contract, there are a lot of situations like this in the AFC South, starting with Chris Johnson, who's different because he's still in his first contract. But you've also got Robert Mathis, you've also got Reggie Wayne, you've also got Rasheen Mathis down in Jacksonville, all upset about their contracts, all around that 30 number. I think Andre made a mistake with that last deal. He signed for too long, but it was front-loaded, and he's made a good share of money. Going forward, does he deserve to line up more with the highest-paid receivers in the game? Probably. Mm-hmm. But certainly the Texans and Texans management are being very sort of gracious if they go along with that because they've got them, and they've got them under contract for quite some time. I sense something will get done that'll boost his yearly averages, but not be crazy. And I think he conceded that he made a mistake by hiring a legitimate agent in Kennard McGuire rather than relying on a family member like he did last time around. Rick Smith's willing to talk. He's been in touch with Kennard McGuire. And if they do something, it's got to be before opening day because Rick said he's sticking to the team policy of not talking contract during the season, which seems reasonable to me. There's a lot of time there.
How do you see the Texans getting past the Brian Cushing suspension for the first four games of the season?
I don't know. It's a little bit like a Ben Roethlisberger deal. I think you're hopeful that you can come out of that at least 2-2 and not feel like you lost out because he was gone. He's certainly a very important presence for this team, but they should be good enough to survive without him. And I can't remember who it was I talked to this week, but he said, you kind of look at it, maybe it was Eric Winston, you kind of look at it like an injury, but you know when he's coming back, and you know he's coming back healthy. So week five, you've got him back in the lineup, ready to go, and injury-free. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's a positive spin. I think the Colts game is huge. You don't want to count it as too much. You don't want to set it up that if you lose, you're deflated. But, here's the team that you're chasing. Here's the team that you've consistently found ways to lose against. Your offseason is generally targeted at the division champ and the first team on your schedule. And to have it all line up to be the Colts at home, it's an awfully big setting. And it's an awful lot of pressure and attention on them in that game, and they need to come out of the gate well.
One of the things that's been going this week, kind of started into last week, and your timing of coming down here having to work out, is the kicking competition. Chris Brown and Neil Rackers, obviously you can only make so much of what they're doing here, you know, not in the game situation, but what do you make this competition now, and how do you see this playing out as it goes through camp?
Well, I think it's interesting the way they set it up, and I know they want to try to mirror game day pressure for both these guys and see who comes out of it the best. But I think, A, it's impressive work to get Rackers to come here where he could have gone to other places where he had a guarantee of a job, though I do think even if he loses this competition, you know, he's going to wind up kicking somewhere very quickly. So it's a good job by that if you want to create the competition. And that's well and fine. It'll be entertaining for us to watch. It'll be entertaining for the team to watch. There's no way to simulate the pressure. And I think when a guy like Chris Brown, as good as he's been, has a season like he had last year, you know, you maybe waited a year too long already. You know, he hits some of those kicks he missed last year, and it changes the whole year. And potentially the whole tone of the organization, and you can't afford that again.
Yeah, it's definitely something that Kubiak said will go all through training camp, the competition. But what do you think? A little off base question here, but who are some of the more entertaining interviews when you come down here, guys that you talk to, Texans players, just interviews you always find interesting?
I always enjoy talking to Eric Winston, who I think is a funny, interesting guy, and I always like guys that can talk kind of beyond their field of expertise, you know, and I feel like Eric's a big enough leader and presence on this team that you could talk to him about team issues that aren't necessarily offensive line issues. I haven't talked to David Anderson during this trip, but I do watch him, and I always look forward to talking to him. I think he's one of the funniest guys in the division, and I like, I don't know if loose cannon's too broad a description for him, but I like his edgy humor and his willingness to be a nut. I read, I don't know if it was you or somebody that wrote that he promised to go with normal haircuts so he had a better chance at meeting a normal girl. He promised his mom that.
Yeah.
You know, that's classic levity for a locker room, and it's hard not to like a guy like that. So I always hope somebody like David Anderson's productive, so it gives me more cause to talk to him when the time comes.
More stuff to write about, too. A couple quick questions before we wrap up. Obviously, you cover the entire AFC South, and you live in Nashville. How are the Titans looking to you at this point in the offseason?
Yeah, I don't think the Titans are going to be good, and I think people in Nashville are going to be disappointed. I might be wrong. I think Chris Johnson will be back, and he's certainly a huge threat, but you know, I don't think he's running for 2,000 yards again. So even if he's very good, you've got a drop-off. They've got the issue of trying to force some carries to go a different direction, which is going to mess up rhythm potentially, but you don't want to overuse him. And they're counting on too many young guys to all step into the lineup and simultaneously play well when you're talking about replacements for Kyle Vandenbosch and Keith Bullock and Kevin Mawai and Algie Crumpler and on and on. And so you've got guys like Craig Stevens and Jared Cook and William Hayes and Gerald McGrath, a second cornerback to be determined opposite Courtland Finnegan. All of them need to not just emerge as starters, but play well simultaneously in order for the Titans to be good. And I just think they're asking too much of too many guys in those situations. I think they're going to be about an 8-8 team, and I think the division's probably going to stack up like it did last year. You know, there's no reason not to pick the Colts until they, you know, start to fail, and they've only lost the division really one time recently to the Titans.
You were in Indy, weren't you, recently?
Yeah, I was in Indy the last weekend. They look, you know, very much the same. And if you sprinkle Bob Sanders and Anthony Gonzalez back into there, it's almost like two big free agent additions. I think they stand to be better. I think this team is going to be good. But if the Texans can't knock off the Colts, you know, they're playing for a wild card at best. And that's not a great scenario, as they can tell you from their experience last year, where you're dealing with tiebreakers and the like. And I think the NFC East is tougher competition than this division faced last year. Jacksonville, I think, you know, you put them in one of the bad divisions, one of the West divisions, and they're contending for second place and a wild card bid. In this division, I think, talent-wise, they still line up fourth. They're just unfortunate. I think next year they'll have a good framework in place to be able to draft a quarterback and maybe look to start anew, no matter what kind of season David Garrard has.
In the sense, kind of saying the Texans are almost there, they're close, but like you said, they need to take down the Colts, first and foremost, but what are some of the other things you need that you think the Texans need to do to make that jump from last year?
Well, the division is a huge. I mean, I need to check with research people to see if anybody's ever done 9-7 with 1-5 in the division, which is just ridiculous. You can't build a winning franchise without being able to handle teams in your division, and 1-5. If you're deconstructing last year, is the singular reason they didn't make it. You've got to win games in your division. So that's the biggest thing. And then the run game, which I've written about while I'm here, obviously hugely disappointing last year. I thought that Chris Brown cast as a short yardage back. I know sometimes it was out of necessity, mm-hmm. but that was just, to me, a complete miss. They can't make misreads like that. Mm-hmm. I know they're a popular pick every year. People want to like this team. People want to see this team making the jump. But I've got questions at running back, at free safety, at corner, at defensive tackle even. I'd like to see the offense round out and be able to roll people when the occasion calls for it. I think there'll be some days where the defense maybe gets torched a little bit in the secondary. But a good team, you know, a good team with, you know, its high-end players are probably as good as anybody's high-end players. Mm. And those are the guys you get to count on first and foremost.
A lot of questions, and hopefully we'll see the answers start to develop throughout training camp, and hopefully we'll see you back here during camp.
Nice. I'll be here. Thanks for having me.